Alright guys, what's up? I know I said before I'm gonna post about Chofetz Chaim. So there's this website, ChofetzChaimDaily.org. I'll try and remember to post the link. It's spelled ChofetzChaimDaily.org. So this is the one that I was saying has the details about like what's called like Lashon Hara, which is like, I think it translates maybe roughly to guarding the tongue or something like that. And it's like kind of topics about gossip, kind of like instructing people how to look at topics surrounding gossip and how to make a choice between saying something or not saying something. So I'm gonna go backwards. The one listed here is December 28 and I think December 29. It has the days, kind of has the days, but it also has them like in the Jewish year or the Jewish month. So it says, you know, December 28th of 2023. I read this one earlier, so I know it goes into the next day too. And then it has the dates, the Hebrew date of, depending how you pronounce it, Tevet or Teves, 17. So this is, I guess, 9-1. And the next one is, where's 9-2? It goes 9-1, and then it goes 9-3 for Chofetz Chaim Daily, 18 Tevis. It says 9-3. Oh, so it also has 9-4 in there. So I guess it doesn't go by day. It's just broken up into, like, a few sentences. So, and it's a little weird. Sometimes they have words that aren't English, and I don't know if they're Hebrew or Yiddish or what, and they're written in English letters, so sometimes I try to make sense of what those words mean, because sometimes it's written a little strange. Like, it's not long. I'm making it longer because I'm just, like, rambling, but it's not long. Like, each one is, like, maybe as long as, like, a phone screen, and then you barely have to scroll. Like, if I just looked at one day, it's, like, about half of the phone screen, if I even expand it, or maybe like the whole phone screen if I expand it. So it's not that long really. So I'm gonna read it. If you guys are into this kind of stuff, you'll hear it. If you're not into it, I mean, you'll probably click off of this episode. Hopefully, I don't know if I'm gonna have much to say. I can't sleep very good. I woke up at like 1 something a.m. and it's like 3 something a.m. So I was like, I might as well just record this because nobody else is awake at least, so I can just record. I think I heard my mom roaming through the house around 1 a.m. when I was up, and she was like closing up the doors and stuff. She makes sure, she goes through, does like a once through, like before she goes to bed, and like, you know, closes everything up and turns on some extra lights. You know, I don't know if we have like a camera set up. I don't really know what she does, but she closes everything up in the house. So I don't even have to think about doing it. She always does it, and she goes to sleep usually way later than me. Like, I fell asleep early around 10 something, I think, and then woke up around 1 something. And I'm still up, so I'm like, might as well be productive. It doesn't look like I'm going to sleep. My sleep's all messed up. Anyways, let's take advantage of it. So, Chofetz Chaim Daily 17 of Tevis. So 9-1 says, if you know bad things about the person that A wants to enter partnership with, you must tell A, provided that you fulfill these conditions. And then there's A, B, C, D for these conditions. So it says, and that's not related to A as in person A. So condition A is, it's definitely destructive to prospective partner. B, must not exaggerate. C, must intend in tolus. And then it says in parentheses, be sure that A will actually take your advice. Person A will actually take your advice. D, seek alternative methods first. Like, it has a small E, so I don't know if there's supposed to be an E. It says it can't cause the potential partner any loss, any additional loss. So basically, this is, to my understanding, saying, you know, if somebody's trying to, like, enter a partnership, let's say, I don't know if they mean, like, a work partnership, something like that, and you know that there's bad things about this person who wants to enter, you know, with your friend, say, for example, you must, you know, you have to tell that person. So if you know bad things about the person that your friend wants to enter a partnership, you have to tell your friend based on these conditions. So if you know that it's definitely destructive to the prospective partner, you have to tell your friend. If you know that, you know, it's not an exaggeration, then you have to tell them. And you have to be sure that, you know, your friend's actually going to take your advice and look for alternative methods before you tell, you know, about these bad things. And it can't cause any additional loss, I guess. So, you know, if it's going to lead to, like, that other person now getting arrested or losing their job or something, I don't know. I mean, this is kind of like a trickier one because it's got all these weird, like, conditions to it. The next one for Daily Tevis 18, since it's on the same page, I'm kind of just going to read these two and go backwards throughout the week. So it says, Chavetz Chaim, Daily 18 Tevis. It says 9-3. If you know that person A is plotting to hurt person B, you must tell person B, provided fulfillment of aforementioned conditions. So all those A, B, C, D, E conditions. So basically, if you know that somebody's going to hurt somebody else, you have to tell them about it. I've had a situation like that where I was like, you know, one of my friends was, you know, I knew somebody who, I'd say, I don't know. I think we were friends for a period of time and lost contact, but they were kind of in a relationship or some kind of situation with another friend, and, you know, they started getting all, like, saying all kinds of stuff that I knew my friend was gonna be, like, I was kind of worried for my friend's safety, in all honesty, because I was like, this person's starting to sound a little erratic, like, they're just trying to, like, get what they're trying to get, and, like, kind of losing it a little bit. So I kind of just told my friend, like, I think this person is kind of like the way they're texting me angrily, I was a little concerned. Because if somebody had told me that, like if they were like, you know, I'm going to come over no matter what, and like I know they don't want me over, I know you don't want me over, but I'm going to come over there and like not even going to do anything, but just kind of like the whole like impulsivity of not being able to kind of like control where their emotions were going. Like I kind of thought it through and I was like, yeah, I would want somebody to kind of alert me if I had somebody saying this, because I was like, well, this person is clearly not texting my friend this, they're texting me this. So I was like, kind of duty to warn. You know, they weren't like trying to be violent, but it just seemed like a really, like, I knew my friend didn't really want them coming by and talking, but I was like, yeah, well, if this person just knocks at your door, you're not going to maybe know who it is. You might answer the door, and then, because I knew they didn't really want to talk, and this friend, this other person that was texting me was like, oh, like, I'm going to make sure we talk, and, you know, we have to end things on the way that, how I want it to look, you know, like, we need to have this last conversation and all this kind of stuff, and, like, I can't believe they don't want to talk to me and all this, so it was getting, it was weird. I was just kind of like, I don't know why they're telling me all this, but they told me, they were like, it was like pages and pages worth of, like, that kind of talk for like a whole day almost, or multiple hours, to the point where I was like, man, this person is just like not relaxing from this. Okay. And then, so 9-4 says, you must be sure that by telling B, he'll stay away from A, but if he's the type to make preemptive strike on A and make a bigger fight, then you can't tell him. So basically, you have to make sure that it's not gonna provoke someone to kind of like maybe go out of their way. Like, so if I would have told my friend that this person is kind of texting me all this crazy stuff, that they're trying to come over to your place, just look out. But if I knew that my friend, which is not accurate, but if I knew that my friend was going to go and approach them instead and like, well, I'm going to take this into my own hands and go tell them off and like, you know, make a scene and like argue with them or whatever, then it's like, yeah, then that means don't tell them, you know, because then you're kind of making a problem bigger if you know that they're going to like go start a fight. Or if it was, like, two guys or whatever, you know, this situation wasn't two guys, but if it was, like, maybe two guys, then, like, if they got in, like, a fist fight or something, if you knew one of them was kind of hot-tempered or something, it's, like, maybe don't tell them, because now they're gonna go and, like, try to beat somebody up or something. I don't know. There's all kinds of situations when you're dealing with people that it's just, like, who knows sometimes. So that was 17, 18. There's 16, 15, 14, and then 12 and 13 are together. So I'm going to go to Chofetz Chaim, daily 16. That one doesn't even need to be expanded. It's just a few lines. But these are still complicated as they are. So this one's called daily 16. That's not much. From December 27th, 2023. And it says Tevis 8-4. So, okay, this has a lot of words that I don't know if I know. But let's see if I can make some sense of it. Some of it I'm going to have to guess a little bit. So it says, Rechlis is Aser, even if the comment Plony made wasn't so bad. For example, when Sarah said, and my husband is old, Hashem didn't repeat that part to Avraham. And then it goes to 8-5. It says, if someone tells you a secret, you may not repeat it. It can damage him and isn't Derek's niece. So SNEAS, I don't know if I know all these words. SNEAS is, I know Derek is like path. So SNEAS, and SNEAS is like, when something isn't SNEAS, it's kind of like it's not good to do, basically. It's not recommended, or it's not good to do. So there's three words I always mix up. I always mix up Asser, Heter, and Mutter. So let me see if I can look those up. Well, not all of them. Let me just look up the one that's there. Let's look up Asser. Asser. The problem is trying to spell words in English letters. That's not right. This isn't the right thing. So adjective Asser, prohibited. So they spell it actually with two S's. That's why I wasn't able to find it so easily. A-S-S-U-R. And in what I just read, they spell it A-S-U-R. So basically it means prohibited or forbidden. I don't know. Rachelus, Jewish meaning. So Rachelus, tale-bearing or gossip. So it basically comes from Leviticus 19:16. Kind of translates to gossip. It says there are quite a few mitzvos or commandments that involve gossip and slander. Collectively, such evil speech is known as Lashon Hara, which we talked about earlier. They translate that to say evil speech. I learned it to mean guarding the tongue, but they say here evil speech. This particular form of smack talk, however, is called reckless or gossip. So, Lashon Hara or gossip. So, reckless is reckless, R-E-C-H-I-L-U-S, is gossip. So, another difficulty with looking up these terms in Chavetz Chaim is that sometimes, because they're actually like Hebrew words, sometimes when you go to look it up, the spelling with the English letters is different. So basically it's saying that it's gossip, or gossip is forbidden, even if the comment that a certain person made wasn't so bad. So they give that example that when Sarah said that her husband is old, that Hashem or God didn't repeat that part to Avraham. She was kind of making some kind of comment, and then, God didn't repeat, oh, Sarah thinks you're old, you know what I mean? So it's basically going on to say if someone tells you a secret, you may not repeat it. It can damage him and isn't Derek Sneas. Like a good path, basically. I'm not very skilled with these words. This whole plony thing, I'm assuming plony is like kind of how they're saying like person A, person B. I don't know, but it comes up a lot and I don't really know if it's like a word. Let me see, maybe I should look that up too, just in case it's something else. Plony, Jewish meaning. Okay, so it says Rashi explains ploni to mean covered and hidden. So how do you translate that into this? So so it's not a person, it just means like covered and hidden, like a secret basically. So basically it's gossip. Gossip is forbidden even if the secret was the secret comment made wasn't so bad. So that's basically what it's saying. And it's like, this is English, but it's like not fully English, so it's like a little bit challenging if you like that kind of thing. But it's like, yeah, that you're reading it and it's like, what are all these words? I'm only really looking them up because I'm recording about it. Otherwise, I just kind of assume I know what it means sometimes and just move on. So now I gotta remember all these terms. Okay, so I've moved on to the next one, which is the previous day from that, December 26, 2023. This one's about a little less than it's like two-thirds of the page on my cell phone. Chavos Chaim Daily 15. It has, it says Daily 15 of Tevis. And this one is numbered 8-1. So this one has a lot of parentheses and is really confusing looking. It has like three parts to it. It says, Asur to say Avak Rechless. Negative implication. For example, to tell R how Plony said, let's not talk about what R did. We'll come back to these. It says two. Praise that will cause hard feelings is also avak rechless. For example, to praise one before his spouse or partner about their charity giving, it will make the other think they're wasting their money. And then three, it's asur to tell someone who refused you a favor. Plony told me that you did him a similar favor because it will make him upset at Plony. See, the way they use this word Plony almost sounds like a person. That's why I thought it was a person. But if it means secret, because there's missing words too, it's like, it sometimes they miss the word a or the, and so it makes it sound like a person. So it's kind of like, even though it's in English, I still got to go back and like kind of translate the English into something that makes more sense. I don't know what avak means. We already know that reckless means gossip. Reckless. Now it might be hard to find what avak reckless means. So avak reckless, if someone smirks, rolling his eyes and exclaims, they've always got something cooking, it seems that the intent is negative. Okay, I don't really understand what that means. What is avak? I don't know what that means. It's a name. And I don't know how else you would spell it. Because I don't really know that word. But it has something. Okay. Avak means dust. Symbolic. So avak lashon hara. It says avak means dust. Symbolic of the dust that gathers on one's shoes and clothing as he travels. What is considered avak dust lashon hara? Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find this exact. It's in a whole article. What is considered avak lashon hara? How do I find that? Ava Lashonhara refers to speech which incites the speaking of actual Lashonhara. Avak means dust, symbolic to the dust that gathers on one's shoes and clothing as he travels. What is considered avak? Dust? Lashonhara. Some things are forbidden because they are avak lashonhara, or traces of lashonhara. It can incite speaking of lashonhara. I'm reading this from a whole different... It's from Torah.org. I'm reading it from a whole different place. For example, someone might say, who would have expected so-and-so to be like he is today? Or, stop talking about so-and-so. I don't want to tell you what's going on with him. And other such statements. Furthermore, praising someone in front of a rival is also avak lashon hara. So it's kind of like assuming something that somebody else wouldn't know. Like, stop talking about this person. I don't want to tell you what's going on with them. Like, it would make people want to ask you, like, well, what's going on with this person then? Like, if you make the comment like that, you know. Or stop, you know, don't ask me about that person, you know, I don't really want to explain their situation. And then it's like, well, now people know that there's a situation. So, okay. So that's what avak reckless means. Kind of like dust. It's aser to say dust reckless. It's aser to say this form of like making someone want to know gossip. So it says negative implication. To tell R how a secret is said, and let's not talk about what R did, you know. So then people would think, you know, well, what did that person do? We don't know what they did. Okay, so two, it says, yeah, the praise that will cause hard feelings is also avak reckless. So basically, if someone was like giving money or donations and you kind of just like mention, like, even if it's a good thing, a nice thing, and you're like, oh, like, you gave this much money, or even like with grades, if somebody's like, oh, like, you got like the highest score in the class, and like someone's kind of like saying it in a way that's like, it's kind of like secret information. It's kind of like secret information, but somebody sharing it, even though it's like good information, it's not like bad, but they're kind of like bragging on someone else's behalf, I guess. I don't know. But this stuff goes into like all these details. Where are we? This is 15. We're going to move on to 14, and then we've still got 12, 13, and then we're done. So, Chafetz Chaim, daily 14, Tevis, that's the date. So, this was actually on the date that was Christmas, the date of Christmas, December 25, 2023. It's 7-5. That's the number for this, 7-5. Aser to believe reckless, regardless of who is telling it to you, even one's spouse. The Chafetz Chaim gives some advice. Showing your willingness to listen will bring many more such stories, and with them, much heartache. So basically, it's saying that it's forbidden to believe. Dang, what does reckless mean again? Now I can tell my brain is tired. It's forbidden to believe gossip regardless of who is telling it to you, even if it's your spouse. And it says, Clovis Chaim gives advice saying, showing your willingness to listen brings more. It kind of like brings on more stories. So if you kind of give in to like listening to it without saying something more about it, then like without saying like, hey, like I don't really want to listen to this or believe it, then people are going to keep telling you stuff because you don't want to believe it. Like, if you don't say, like, hey, I don't really listen to this kind of thing. So it's basically saying it's forbidden to believe in gossip regardless of who's telling it to you. Which is kind of an interesting approach, because it's like, when people gossip, usually it's like, yeah, people do take it all as truth. I don't know if I've ever taken an approach when I hear somebody say something and be like, oh, that's not true at all. I kind of take it in and I'm like, oh, like, yeah, but I do also form my own opinions about people. Like, I know people exaggerate and embellish, and then people kind of take things out of context to make it so that their side sounds way more right, so that they can justify telling people. Like, they're not going to tell the whole story, you know, when they're gossiping. People don't tell the whole story. I mean, maybe they do, but sometimes they don't really tell the whole story. It's like, they're not going to be like, oh, this person seems like they're going through a really hard time lately, and I've kind of noticed they've seemed kind of down, and then somebody made some weird comment about their shoes. They kind of just like yelled at them. And, you know, like, if somebody's gossiping, they're probably just going to be like, oh yeah, the other day I was with these guys and, like, you know, one guy made this comment about his shoes and he just like went off and started like yelling at the other guy. You know, like if it's two of your friends or something, but you probably wouldn't mention the part that's like, oh yeah, he's been kind of down lately, I've noticed, I haven't had the chance to ask him what's up. Like, you're not gonna say all that, because now it makes you sound kind of crappy if you're like, oh, I've noticed that this person that we all know in common seems like they've been having a rough time, I don't really know what's going on, but they've been a little distant and not talking or laughing and joking around as much as usual, and they kind of just come in right on time, or maybe they come in late all the time and then they leave early, or like they leave right on time and they don't really catch up anymore like they used to. Maybe something's up, I'm gonna check on them. Like, instead of saying something like that, it's like, oh, let's just talk about the part where they yelled at somebody, because that's like the juicy part. But they're not gonna, like, if you start mentioning all this, oh, this person's probably having, like, a rough couple weeks or something, you know, then it's, like, it makes you look bad to be, like, well, why are you, like, telling everybody, you know what I mean? So, I've noticed that kind of happens a lot, too. It's, like, when somebody's gossiping, they're gonna tell the juiciest part of it. They're not gonna tell kind of the whole back explanation for, like, what might be going on. Because a lot of times, if you know people well and you see them often, you can just kind of know, like, maybe this person's stressed out and that's why they're reacting that way, or like, and you can kind of realize, yeah, I noticed they seem kind of stressed lately, I wonder what's going on. But like, that's still kind of like maybe not appropriate to be having that full conversation with other people, but it's like, it's a different direction than just like, oh, this person, did you hear that so and so blew up and like yelled at this other person? And then people will be like, oh, like, wow, they were, like, they got in an argument. Like, why was he yelling? Like, oh, yeah, he was, like, talking crap about his shoes. And, like, you know. And it's like, yeah, but I don't know. Sometimes it's like, I don't know. It's kind of sad when you think about it. It's like, man, people can be pretty crappy to each other. But that's why I kind of like reading this kind of stuff, because it kind of makes me think about, like, storylines where it's like, okay, I can kind of see on a deeper level, like, why this wouldn't be like helpful for like people trying to have like a healthy community. Because a lot of times I don't know. Like, this isn't only for, like, religious people, but I would say it would maybe be something religious people would potentially gravitate to more, but I don't think it has to be. I think just any kind of, like, social friend group, you know, this kind of stuff applies or could apply to help people, especially if they don't really know. Like, because the thing is like, okay, what I noticed, this one looks like it's going to be difficult. There's all kinds of words in it. But yeah, what I was saying is, like, usually you're taught, don't gossip, you know? But there's always this fine line between, like, what's gossiping and what's just explaining what you witnessed or just talking about your day or, like, venting about, like, if somebody did something negative to you and yelled at you, like, if you were making, like, a joking comment towards someone that was sarcastic about their shoes, like, you're wearing those shoes again, or, like, oh, I thought, you know, it's been a week, I thought you would have cleaned off the mud by now, or, like, maybe if you went to a bonfire and somebody has a jacket that smells like smoke, and you'd be like, oh, like, it's been, like, a week, like, and you still haven't cleaned your jacket, like, that's rude, but it's, like, people say stuff like that, you know, and think it's, like, joking, and they're trying to, like, kind of make a comment that, like, you know, people do that a lot instead of pulling them aside and being like, you know, having a nice way of, like, trying to tell somebody that, like, maybe you should throw your jackets in the wash after the bonfire so that you don't spend the whole week smelling like smoke, you know. But I don't know. How about this? Because this one seems like it's going to be really complicated. I'm going to skip the Hafez Chaim Daily 12, Tevis 7-2. And I'm going to, like, I'm going to read it, but I'm not going to, like, try to translate all this. I'm just going to skip to the next one of Hafez Chaim Daily 13, Tevis. It confuses me where it says daily 13 or daily 14, because then it has the month name after. Tevis is the name of the month of the Jewish lunar calendar. And then 7-3 is the name of that section that I'm reading. So I'm going to read 7-2 of the day 12 Tevis, but I'm not going to explain any of it. You can do that for yourself. So it says, Chafetz Chaim. I read that already. So let's see. It says, Aser to say reckless about an Am Haaretz, about a Talmid Chacham, is worse. A, it's probably false. B, it violates the mitzvah to honor and respect him. C, worse ramifications. It says, for example, can ruin his influence, create a big fight, he will lose his position. So, just, I mean, I kind of know what some of these words mean. I mean, I could probably go through it, but it's like a Talmid is a student. But Chacham probably assumes that he has some kind of, like, a standing. And Haaretz is, like, the land. I don't know what Am Haaretz means. I can't remember what Am means. But you can figure that out. You can look it up if you really want to. I'm going to move on to the next one because it's easier and I'm getting a little tired. So Chafetz Chaim Daily 13, Tevis. And this is part 7-3. And it also has part 7-4 in here. And this is going to be the last one I'm reading. So it says, it's Osir to, it doesn't say it's Osir. I'm reading it to say it's, because it just starts saying Osir, you know, like, so you're kind of like, what's going on? Osir to tell someone that Plony badmouthed him. Likewise, Osir to tell that to someone's wife and relatives. they'd get upset at Plony. The 7-4. Much worse to say reckless to a non-Jew about a Jew, because he may harm the Jew. Also to denigrate a product or service that a Jew provided for a non-Jew. So, I don't know. Because it always says him. When it says Plony, it says him. So I don't really know if Plony means secret or if Plony... I don't really understand that word too well. Like, I've looked these up before, but they're just a little complicated because it's like... It's hard. I don't really read stuff like this. Like, it's worded weird. Like, I don't read this every day. I go through it, like, on occasion. And I'm like, oh, this is an interesting thought. And then I'll not read it for, like, quite a few weeks or maybe even months. And then I'll be like, let me read some of that. So, yeah. Basically, it's forbidden to tell someone that this other person badmouthed them. Like, why is it forbidden to tell that to someone's wife and relatives? They'll get upset at that person. So if someone's talking crap about someone else, you basically can't tell them that. Someone's like bad-mouthing someone else. And I don't know if I have examples of that. I mean, I'm pretty sure I do. I don't know if I know. Oh, yeah, I guess I do. Like, I had someone tell me something about someone else who they thought was trying to, like, get their professional advice on something and thought that, you know, that person wanted to kind of, like, do some kind of scammy thing. Like, not scammy, but I guess they thought, like, that doesn't sound like a good enough idea, or, like, it sounds not an intelligent business plan or something. Like, I don't even know what the plan was exactly, but, I don't know. The person telling me that did kind of use the word scam, but it didn't sound like it was, like, gonna be, like, a true scam. But they were kind of like, yeah, I don't really want to help this person with this business plan. And they were kind of, like, telling me about it. And then, yeah. It would have been wrong to go to that person and be like, oh, so-and-so told me that they don't want to help you with their business plan because of X, Y, and Z. But I don't really know. That kind of thing happens a lot. I don't really know if people go and, like, say, like, this person was bad-mouthing you. Much worse to say, like in 7-4 where it says it's much worse to say reckless, or so it's much worse to say gossip to a non-Jew about a Jew because he may harm the Jew, and it's forbidden to denigrate a product or service that a Jew provided for a non-Jew. Now, I don't know if they mean it's forbidden to denigrate a product or service if it was already bad. Like, if you knew it was a bad product or service. Like, maybe somebody created some kind of final exam study materials and they're selling them, like, not selling answers, but, like, maybe they made a study guide, but it's, like, very cheap, but also very bad, but then that person happens to be a Jew, then you can't tell other people, hey, maybe don't buy this one, just because that person is a Jew, and, like, buy it from this other person who happens to just not be Jewish. I'm not trying to say Jewish people are scamming people, I'm just saying, like, this is the example I'm making up because that's kind of how I'm understanding this, is like the rules are different between Jews and non-Jews. So basically, it's saying it's much worse to say reckless to a non-Jew about a Jew, but it's not saying that it's that you shouldn't. It's saying it's much worse. But it's not saying that it's not bad to say gossip about a non-Jew. It's just saying it's much worse to say it about a Jew because potentially somebody's going to harm the Jew. But when somebody harmed a non-Jew, I don't know if that's equal, that people would, you know, take preference to harm a Jew over gossip versus harming a non-Jew. This is my opinion. I think it depends on what the gossip would be and what the situation would be. Like, if somebody's, like, talking crap about a big family secret about somebody's sister or something, versus if somebody's like, you know, did you know that this person, you know, wears odor eaters or in their shoes or whatever, like little things, or like doesn't know how to ride a bike or can't swim, or like something that's like not really a big huge deal, versus like somebody who's actually like spreading some family secret, like if somebody's sister got an abortion, and it's like, especially in a religious community, and somebody's like spreading that to other people, I think that secret is a lot deeper and damaging than like if somebody wears odor eaters or like has some kind of weird hobby, you know, like plays Dungeons and Dragons or whatever. Like, I like those kind of games, but, you know, I don't know for sure if it's like a Jew versus non-Jew thing. I really don't see it that way. I think it depends on the secret. It depends on the gossip and like the extent of the gossip. I'm not saying there's not prejudice towards Jews, though. There is. But I guess I live in such a diverse area that there's so many other different types of minority groups that I think in a lot of settings, maybe the Jewish person might be prioritized better than like maybe a Latino or a Latinx person or like a trans person or like a black person, or like I feel like there's still other ethnic communities that I wouldn't say they get worse, but it's like, I don't know. Maybe amongst Caucasian communities and Caucasian Jews, I could kind of see that maybe that somebody would prioritize. Like, say, for example, this is like a stupid example, I already know. If you've seen the movie with, it's Brendan Fraser, and he's in this movie, it's called School Ties, and it's got him and Matt Damon and a couple of those guys that kind of make movies with Matt Damon, like the redhead guy. I mean, he was also in Good Will Hunting. I can't remember the guy's name, but anyways, they're like in high school at a boarding school that like leads for these young guys to get into like Ivy League universities like Harvard, Yale, Stanford, whatever. And there was a lot of prejudice. Like at this time, you know, there was a lot of prejudice against Jews being in those schools, like Jews going to Harvard or Jews going to Princeton and things like that. So it's kind of like, I don't know if that's even a thing anymore, but it's like, in that movie, in that time setting, it was like, a taboo kind of thing. And so I could see in a setting like that, where it's like all these other Caucasian males that aren't Jews, you know, coming from different kinds of money and all this kind of stuff, and then they're kind of prejudiced against Jews in that kind of setting, I could see how it would be, you know, it would make it harder on a Jewish person, because people would be more likely to kind of like blame the Jewish person, you know, because they're in a setting where they're the minority. But I could kind of see it the other way, if it's like there's other types of minorities and then there's a Jewish person, and especially maybe if they're Caucasian, that scenario might not fit as well depending on what the issue is. But I really can't say. It's hard to really say without like a specific scenario. It's hard to really be like, oh, people always blame this person, or they always blame this race or whatever. But it really depends what we're talking about here. But I think that's a good example. If you've ever seen the movie School Ties, I don't want to ruin it for you, but go watch that movie, and that's like a perfect example of this Chavetz Chaim section. Talking about like Jews versus non-Jews. It's a really good movie. It's pretty old, but it's really good. So it's kind of a lengthy one. I don't know if I'm gonna just wake up or go to bed. I guess we'll see what happens. But I had coffee because I had a meeting online around 2, and I had coffee a little after 1. It was from McDonald's. It was supposed to be a decaf. My mom drank the other coffee from McDonald's, and they never pressed in the little bubble on the lid, and so both of the bubbles were up. So she drank one, and it was definitely caffeinated, so I kind of just assumed that one that was left over was probably not caffeinated, maybe, but I only drank half of it. But also, since, you know, I've been sick and not really, like, knowing that I'm not going to go into the next day, like, waking up at 5:30, 6 o'clock, you know, doing pods and, like, going to go out and deliver and all this kind of stuff, like, since I've known I wasn't going to be doing that, I've kind of not been having caffeine too often. Not like every morning. And so maybe it was decaf and it just really affected me. But I did go to sleep kind of on time. It's just now that I'm awake, maybe I'm a little wired. But I don't know. Like, I'm kind of pumped full of stuff. I don't really know how I'm up right now. But, I mean, I did nap, like, for a couple hours in the afternoon. So maybe, maybe I kind of slept enough. I don't know. My sleep's been weird, and I've been waking up like about 3 times a night or so. Even if I take a lot of melatonin, I'm still like waking up. Even if I have melatonin and CBD, I'm still kind of waking up like this. Like, but I think I would maybe go back to sleep if I wasn't like up watching stuff and like recording pod episodes. But I don't mind. I mean, it's Saturday, early Saturday morning. It's not like I'm going to be doing anything else other than recording and reading and, like, learning and stuff. So I don't really plan on, you know, doing much more with my day. So I'll just go to sleep when I feel like it, I guess. Once I get tired, I'll just go back to sleep. There's nothing stopping me. Unless somebody decides to do, like, construction next door or something. I hate that. When I don't, like, sleep well and then, like, somebody's, like, roofing next door or, like, I mean, there shouldn't be construction because it's supposed to be raining early in the morning, but you just never know in the city, like, what's going to actually be going on. But yeah, I can kind of feel my eyes closing, but I'm kind of like wired at the same time, so I don't know. We'll see what happens with my sleep, but I don't know. I don't know what you guys think about this kind of stuff. I find it to be kind of like interesting, powerful little lessons. I don't remember the history of Chavetz Chaim and like his writings and all that kind of stuff. I don't really remember all that detail. And like I've mentioned, ever since, I feel like ever since I got COVID, like my memory is just like not great. But even before that, my memory wasn't really that stellar. So it's kind of been a little hard to kind of learn stuff, but I'm still trying to learn stuff like as I go. Just lately I've just been kind of going with how I feel about things, like what I want to learn. I know I said I was going to do a recording about the 10th of Tevet, about that holiday involving like Nebuchadnezzar too, and like that kind of remembrance that commemorates that kind of destruction or like historical war or battle or invasion or whatever you label it as. I mean, we're so far from that date. I really don't think I'm gonna go into it this year, because I've kind of missed the mark, and now we're like 9 or 8 or so days past the point, and I kind of just lost interest, in all honesty. Like, I studied it a little bit before, briefly, and it's something new to me, so I'll probably study it more next year. I don't know what else I'm studying. I've still got to finish this psychology worksheet. I've still got to finish this. We're almost at the end of the Four Agreements. There's some other kind of Amish relevant content that I wanted to finish up. So I kind of wanted to finish that. So, I don't know. But yeah. So, I guess that's about it for now. I don't have much more to say, but hopefully that was interesting. I try not to go off topic way too much. Hopefully I didn't. All right, that's it for now.